And welcome, everybody, to episode 708 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branch, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm great since I got that pay check you sent me. I mean, that, I knew you were going to win big in Vegas, but I didn't know you were going to win that big. And be that generous, dude.
Hey, we're going to talk about Vegas in a minute, and you guys are going to want to stick around for Sweetos. So, you know,
I'm glad you gave me your credit card so I could just charge it all of that.
Right. Just, I mean, carte blanche, man. I mean, you know, it was champagne for everybody in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because that's how Vegas works. You go to Vegas and automatically you're a big baller and you win all the time. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is, you know. I mean, that's Vegas for you. But we'll discuss more about Vegas here in a minute, gentlemen. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing? Breakman, how are you doing, man? How was your couple weeks away?
Well, I just found out I did work I didn't have to do, so it was good. Now I'm messed up and sad.
Aww.
I slacked off, but no, I had to do actual work. It was a show, no less. I mean, God.
Right. Actual work, like you know, a horror themed bracket that we'll be starting this week, which I don't even know what it is, Break, but we'll find out when we get there.
The scariest video games of all time.
Oh, the scariest video games of all time. That's pretty awesome. Freak5 says, I got a little bit of an echo, guys. I don't know who's and that is, but
if it might be on my end because I can't get my headset to work.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Freak5 says, LOL, if they get my telephone number. He's been telling this story about how he wants to put these creepy dolls if he ever sells his house. He says, if they get my telephone number from the realtor to call and ask about the box with the doll in it, I'll just tell them, do not open that box and hang up on them. Yeah. Do a whole conjuring thing, man. That'd be pretty badass, man. All right. Well, let's,
You need to, like, pay the neighbors, too. Like, so every time they talk to the neighbors, have the neighbors, like, casually drop saying things like, it's so sad what happened to the former
the former
stuff like that, like, randomly. Oh, we really can't talk about it, you know.
Yeah, we really shouldn't discuss those things, you know. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, let's go ahead and do the news here and get through that part. Get back in the swing of things after Vegas here, guys. Hold on.
RPG News.
What were you saying, Break, before I rudely interrupted you?
The news, good. Yeah.
All right, let's get through this news. Eric, you're up.
Okay, from RPG site, we've got Demon Gaze Extra is getting a physical release in the West. If you were leery about getting out of Play Asia, because there was some initial confusion about it not having English voice acting, but apparently that turned out to be the case that it didn't, but it was available via an update on the servers, I guess, for the game. So if you were worried about that and didn't get it for that reason, now you don't have to worry, because you can just buy the Western release instead.
Well, there you go.
January 13th is the date it drops, and it's selling for $60.
Okay. You think it'd be worth it to get it, Eric?
That's a lot of money for a game that came out on the Vita. But,
I know.
It does have extra content, so it might be worth the extra price.
I think I'll
play it to see, like, if it's worth it at all.
Yeah, I think I'll wait for a sale before I jump on this one.
I don't think they'll be doing a reprint, so maybe you should probably buy it when it comes out.
That's a possibility. I might do that, either that. Or they don't have a digital copy of this?
You can buy it on the stores.
Yeah. I'll wait for sale then. Freak says I could put some strange things in the room, maybe a pentagram on the floor, and then brick it up so you don't know there's a room there if you are in the basement. Hey, that would be an idea.
Ooh, under the carpet too.
Oh, that's even better. Like just like cut back the carpet and then just like, you know, draw a pentagram there. That way when they go to put like wood floors or something, they see it. Ooh. I like that. I like that idea, Break. We're getting into the Halloween spirit for sure, man. This is good stuff, man.
I like where this is all going.
I do too, man. This is pretty good stuff. All right, anything else on that, Eric?
The only place I know that you'll be able to buy the physical release for this is via Video Games Plus, which is a website. And they normally operate through Canada, but they ship to the U.S., so it's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, Breakman, you're up next.
Coming to us live from RPG site, Ayuden Chronicle Rising. Oh, sorry. Ayuden Chronicle Rising.
Ayuden.
Ayuden? Ayuden?
Close Ayuden. Enough.
EI is pronounced I.
Yeah.
Ayuden.
I don't know.
It's Ayuden because AU in Japanese means hero. So here's a story, basically.
It's spelled E-I-Y, not A-I.
Yeah, it's still pronounced that way. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Take that, you son of a bitch.
Every time I've seen E-I pronounced, it's I. Einstein, you know,
Well, you're wrong, because this is Japanese.
Yeah, it's Japanese, you son of a bitch. I'm just taking on a fight here.
Proper nouns are proper nouns.
Yeah. Hey, Breakman, are you going to take that from Eric RPG?
No, he's the one that's trying to fight me.
Yeah. Are you going to take that, Eric?
No. That's why I yelled at him.
All right, Eric. Breakman, continue on, man.
No, that's it.
That's it? That's a whole story?
Yep.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, it's just another physical release story, so.
Yeah. All right.
January 26th, in case you forgot the date in that entire debacle.
Yeah. And it's $34.99. I wonder what the next one from RPGsite.net is worth here. This comes to us, like I said, from RPGsite.net, or as Breakman says, live. From RPGsite.net, Megaton Musashi. Hope I pronounced that correctly so Eric doesn't kill me. Cross launches as a free-to-play title for PS4 and Switch on December 1st in Japan. So there's the story. Looks pretty cool. Any word on it getting here? Eric, you think it's going to get here?
I don't know. It's a free-to-play game. From a company that doesn't really publish in the West anymore.
Yeah, well, good luck with that then. All right, Eric, go ahead.
Ardo has got a release date, and this is a game that has a colorful psychedelic world. And the idea is that you're gradually restoring color to a world that's been bereft of it. And multiple endings based on players' exploration routes, NPC interactions, and fighting style, should they decide to utilize in combat. So I guess you don't have to fight? This is kind of written poorly, I think.
Is this like sort of a Super Mario Sunshine kind of vibe, where you have to clean up the world, but instead of cleaning up the world, you're coloring the world?
It's kind of what I get guess, the impression. But it's got more comic book-like art, so yeah. Not really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nothing looks like Mario, to be honest. Freak Fry's thinking too much again, guys. Breakman, what do you think of this scenario? He was thinking about Infinity War. What if, when Thanos snapped, some pregnant women disappeared, leaving the fetus, or the fetus disappeared?
I think they were snapped along with the host, because that's usually how it works.
Or what about conjoined twins?
Fetus isn't alive, isn't a person yet. So yeah, the fetus would be part of the woman. So if a pregnant woman gets snapped, the fetus gets with it.
Well, what about conjoined twins?
I read this post on this Facebook announcement and said that you'd have a 5-year-old fetus when they came back. No, they still have the fetus developing the womb as it was because nobody aged during the snap.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Wow. Weird.
They said this on Far From Home.
Yeah.
Like right at the very beginning.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on Arto?
Not really.
All right. Breakman.
There's key features, but nah, it's just typical game crap.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, you're up.
To us live from RPG site, Valiant Strategy. The Valiant strategically The Valiant strategically deploys on October 19th for PC. Publisher THQ Nordic and developer Kite Games have shared that Valiant is launching on October 19th. There you go.
Wasn't there a weird time where THQ Nordic looked like it was in a lot of trouble, and it just somehow survived? THQ Nordic is like the zombie publisher of like all publishers. It's so weird. But, I mean, that's kind of cool that they're sort of still around, THQ.
They published Wreckfest. Game I play a lot.
Yeah. All right, anything else on that break?
Nothing wrong with it.
All right. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Valkyrie Profile Lenith's release on the PlayStation 5 and PS4 delayed to December 22nd. So if you guys were hoping to get it in September, you're going to have to wait till December. I have no idea. It doesn't really tell you in the article why that it's being delayed, but it's delayed. So
I wish it were being delayed so they'd do a Switch release and, you know, do physical release instead of digital only, which is probably going to be end up being.
Yeah. Freak Price says, last Friday was a great week for you to be off at work. I didn't get off until almost 8, so wouldn't have been in chat.
And some people are claiming that it's probably not due to the fact that Elysium just came out and they didn't want to launch on the same day and eat each other's sales. They said that probably isn't the case because they serve different audiences, but I think that was still a concern of Square. That was probably another reason they delayed it all the way to December.
Yeah. All right, next story, Eric.
Because they could have just delayed it by a month if they wanted to, but they wanted to go for an extra month.
All right.
That's it. But so I guess Labyrinth of Galleria, the Moon Society, has a date. And it's coming out on PlayStation 5, 4, Nintendo Switch, and PC, and February 14th, just a few days before Valentine's Day.
Does it? This game sort of look? Is it the same guys that did? I bet you some of the same guys that did Etrian Odyssey worked on this game.
No,
sort of looks like that.
It's a dungeon crawler, but no, it's made by Nippa and Ichi.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, it just reminded me of Etrian Odyssey.
It's got more in common with Witch and the Hundred Knight, which they also made.
Ah, well, maybe. But, alright. Alright, anything else on this, Eric?
No, not really. Other than the fact that, the original, Labyrinth of, Refrain was actually pretty fun. So you could always pick that up. Like on the cheap to see if you like this one, because I don't think there's a demo for either of these games.
Yeah, I think those games go on sale quite a bit too. So,
well, not as often as you might hope, but enough.
Yeah. All right. Let's see, Breakman. I think you're next.
Coming to us live from RPG Site, Xuan Wan Sword 7 launches for Nintendo Switch on 2023.
All right, so we have nothing other than that.
Yeah, why do we have a story? This isn't really a story.
2023, so just sometime next year, you'll get it.
Yeah.
Whenever they can get the game past the law checkers, etc., maybe.
Yeah. All right, last story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Wild Hearts launches for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Yes, on February 17th. This one's looking really, really good, guys. I saw the trailer for this. It looks...
I can't tell, though, if it's a live service game or a Monster Hunter game or a good combination of both.
You know,
I'm not necessarily sure I want the live service element because EA's involved.
Yeah, that's true, too. I'm not sure either, Eric. I had the same question, but I think I'd lean more towards, like, a Monster Hunter type deal.
I feel like it's more like they're doing both Monster Hunter and maybe a little bit of Maybe a little bit of Tokida, but not quite. Mm. I'm sure they took a couple of lessons from Tokida and Tokida 2.
Yeah.
But maybe also a little bit of Monster Hunter Rise and World.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Specifically from the Monster Hunter end.
Yeah, it's looking okay.
And maybe Shadow of the Colossus. Maybe there's some open world stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I don't think it's a live service game. If it's live service, I'm out. You know, I'm not interested. But
and loot boxes, microtransactions.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that, because then you have to start to pay to win, and that really takes the fun out of almost any game, unless you're absurdly rich, like some people are. But
like, it seems like the concept of the game is like you're hunting these monsters, but you've got like the ability to craft a bunch of different traps and devices to fight the monsters with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the news, guys. Let's anybody have any homie discounts that they want to mention? I didn't get a chance to look, I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't really look at the how dare you, Freak Five? He said Frank would pay and still lose. How dare you, son of a bitch. Breakman, any
there's no real big sales until the Steam Fall sale happens, yeah, like in a month and a half from now.
Yeah. You, Breakman, anything in particular?
No.
Alright. Anything for dear Breakman that we want to mention? Alright, then let's move to
Inquiring Minds wanna know
what you've been playing, Breakman.
Well, I kind of decided I should move on to the end game of Breath of the Wild, since I've been playing so long. Because I got to the point where the only thing really left to farm is star fragments, and it's a pain in the ass. I don't feel like doing it, so I just beat the game.
You're like, screw this.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, I did enough of farming fucking dragon parts. That took forever. And it's like, no, I don't want to fucking farm that shit. Yeah, look up in the sky, wait for a meteorite, and then go hunt it down. No, I'm okay.
Mm. I only did that for, like, certain armor pieces. I wasn't doing it for all the ones.
I didn't do it with any of them. I got all my star pieces from, like, treasure chests and fighting enemies.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not going after them.
You're like, screw that, I'm not chasing meteors, you dumbasses.
If you don't get there in time, if you don't get there before daylight,
disappears.
Screwed. Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah. All right. What else?
I've also been playing Wreckfest because it's a lot of fun. I just mentioned it a moment ago. I like smashing stuff. And
it's a total blast. I need to get that game, dude. I didn't even think about that. I have to get back into gaming, man. This week, I just got back this week, and you know, it's still kind of discombobulated.
You picked up a control and your arm immediately raised up to try and get like the bar to pull down.
Yeah, the muscle memory isn't there anymore, Break. Like, I have to learn how to get back in the groove of playing games again. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Instead of playing slot machines. I like that. All right, anything else you've been playing, Break?
Let's see. I was playing the Genesis Collection still. I finished Shining Force, the original.
Nice.
And after a while. Yeah, if I had played Shining Force back in the day, I could tell it would have been one of my absolute favorite games now.
Yeah.
Because of how much I love, like, strategy games and such.
Yeah. You're a big strategy guy, man. I don't have the patience for that shit, man. That's like, to me, it's like micromanaging upon micromanaging. You know, not only do you have to micromanage all your spells and everything else you're doing, you have to micromanage where you are on the map, and that's just a step too far for me.
I like that stuff for whatever reason.
I don't know. I never really have
control of my little soldiers, my little pawns, my little toys.
You're funny, man. All right. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
And more of a Super Smash Warner Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
All right. Eric, you're up.
I played a little bit of Final Fantasy III Pixel Remaster, but not a lot of it. But other than that, I'm mostly playing Trails from Zero the past 2 weeks. And I'm almost at the end of Chapter 4. And then close to beating the game. But I mean, I've already played it before. I'm just playing it through it again on PS4 to get trophies. and re-experience the story with cleaned-up translation, because it uses most of GeoForce translation, but they made some changes, little bits and places everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. All right. Anything else, Eric?
No, but I've been watching a lot of shows, so they'll be in the review section.
All right, speaking of that, let's move on to reviews.
RP Grinders, reviews.
All right, Brake, you have any reviews this week?
Sure, I can fucking review some piece of shit, and I'm going to go ahead and spoil as much of it as possible, because I don't want anybody to watch
this. Wait. What are we talking about here?
Oh, it's called Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
Ooh, go ahead and spoil. I mean, I think we all know the story of...
I mean, most biopics are kind of garbage anyway, so yeah.
Well, this one, the reason this one's garbage is it's not because of, like, the acting or the or any of the writing of it. It's the hypocrisy of it, mostly.
Really?
In the story, they talked a lot about, like, the victims not being compensated. They before this came out, they said this wasn't going to be all about the victims and not about Dahmer. They only mentioned, like, three of his victims.
Wow.
And at the very end, they started talking about this, making a memorial for the family and stuff like that. And they showed us the names of the victims. Well, you find out that they never talked to any of the victim families.
Wow.
This movie's trash on principle, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, it's just their whole, like, we're doing this for the victims. No, you're doing this for money. You're fucking liars.
Wow. I can't believe that, man. That's pretty insane. I mean, I already knew the whole story, but yeah. I was kind of curious.
I didn't want to watch it because I was, you know, like, most serial killers, they happen like 70s, 60s, and stuff like that. I wasn't old enough to remember that. I'm old enough to remember Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
Like, I remembered some of the most horrific things, and they don't shy away from that in the story. Even though this isn't completely factual, there's a lot of, like...
license.
Creative licensing. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
There's apparently a neighbor who wasn't actually her neighbor, but she was integral in the story because she's one of the people who caught him with the. He was one of the things that really just kills me about this story is how many times that piece of shit could have been caught in prison.
Yeah.
Just like every serial killer, every single one of them got away from the cops, and it was mostly because of police incompetence.
Well,
And the serial killers aren't caught because of the cops, they're caught because of some victim finding the cops.
Right, and even then, sometimes the cops screw it up. Like I was telling you, like, 2% of all crime is solved. Like, it's... Our policing is just absolute junk in this country, man. It's stupid. It's stupidity.
A lot of the stuff that happened with the cops is factual, but there are some things I want to know if they're real or not. Like, it was said it was shown that the cops were apparently pranking the family members.
Oh. Of the victims. Wow. Pranking.
The cops, they got suspended. The cops that took the kid back to the apartment. That was one thing that I've always remembered was that incident when the cops came across a young teenager, and they assumed because of homophobia and, you know, racism, because they didn't want to deal with a gay man, and they didn't, you know, they couldn't tell, like, that a brown kid was a kid, or I'm sorry, no, he was Asian. He was an Asian kid.
Right.
He was a man to them.
Well, that,
you know, they're documented of them making jokes about being deloused and not wanting to be there. Like,
right.
You know, it wasn't about homophobia at all.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking full of shit, man. There's a big problem with that. There's, you know, not only is there a white supremacy problem, but there's a homophobic problem within the department. I mean, it's well documented, man. Like the
transphobic too.
It was open that back then. Homophobia was open and widespread. Like, they weren't hiding it.
Right, right.
In another instance, the first person he killed, he cut him up and put him in a garbage bag and was pulled over by the police with that dead body in his car.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That I read. That was part of the deal. And Dahmer was very open about it. I wish he would...
apparently called repeatedly, being told about their smells, their sounds. I heard somebody screaming for help.
Yep. Yeah,
and the cops never showed up.
And they well, why would they? Because they're incompetent. They're pieces of shit.
The most recent double murder made by cops was the girl who got kidnapped by someone, asked for cops for help, and get shot along with the kidnapper.
Mm-hmm. No, it was her father that kidnapped her. And she was running to the police for help.
Well, I did say kidnapper. I never said anything about dad. But
I know, I was just correcting them here.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure about that part, but I was correcting the part of she was actually running to the cops for help when they shot her.
Oh yeah, that's of course. What I meant. And they have a habit of doing that as well. So it's just it is what it is. What are you giving?
I was arguing with this racist asshole online earlier about how he was upset about the fires in Kenosha and stuff like that. I'm like, they shot a man in the back. Repeatedly. He was a threat to them.
Threat.
And he wasn't some innocent guy. He was a criminal. Yeah, but what about due fucking process? How could he be a threat if he was shot in the back?
Right. We think you're going to commit a crime. It's like fucking Minority Report. That movie bothers me to no end, man. It's because how could you know for sure that that person is going to actually do something? You know what I mean? Like, just because you think, you know. I mean, it's thought crimes are the worst way of looking at other people and
also,
stuff.
Also, it's not really a cop's job to just murder someone. I mean, if they're going to be executed, they have to be executed in a state, with the state executions, and they have to determine you guilty of that. due process.
Exactly. So, what are you giving this Dahmer thing?
Because of the hypocrisy of it and the... several family members of some of the victims have come out and have said, you know, nobody told us about any of this shit, and they're full of shit about, like, talking to us and being about us and stuff like that. And because of the whole hypocrisy of it, I give it a 0 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I regret watching it.
I don't blame you. And I was on the fence about watching it, but now that you say that, ain't no chance I'm watching that shit.
I didn't want to watch it because I remember the cops returning a kid to the monster, and you know, and I remember this guy like eating people and stuff like that, and it's just like, this is, I don't want to watch this. And like, you know, Mr. Brickman's like, quit watching it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's well done.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The guy who plays Jeffrey Dahmer,
Evan Peters, he's a great actor. Great actor.
He did a really good job of it. And Niecy Nash from Reno 911 was one of the main characters in it in a drama. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, Niecy Nash is a good actress too, man. She's really good.
Only really does like comedies and stuff like that. It was weird to see her like in this like huge drama. But So even though I would say that it was well done, I still give it a 0 out of 10.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. That's the first 0 that I think you've ever given anyone.
Wasn't a character from like the Upright Citizens Brigade or one of the actors from that? So also in a show called Super. Called Super, a dark superhero movie.
No idea. Eric, not a clue. Freak says, I bet that asshole defended Kavanaugh, saying that he was never proven to be a rapist and was innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, whatever. It's like, whatever.
I don't understand people. How somebody can say something and they'll see something else, or they'll see proof. You know, we have things on video evidence, and we have things in writing documentation. Nobody wants to believe anything evidence-wise.
Yeah.
If it goes against what they believe.
Right.
And I don't mean anybody. I mean partisan
people. Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the two-party system is the downfall of this country, Break. It's made people, like you said, like, not believe facts. You know, and it's like, just follow the facts and don't, you know, just look at the facts. That's all.
I've gotten tired of this argument. Hey, Frank, what started the Civil War?
Slavery, man. Like, it's pretty obvious.
So this is the argument I always hear back. Well, this wasn't about slavery, it was about taxes. What taxes?
What taxes on slavery?
Taxes on slaves.
Yeah, slaves. Yeah, man.
South didn't want to pay taxes on slaves.
Right.
They forget to mention that part. And when you show them things like, and I love that, my favorite is the Mississippi Secession later, because it mentions several times that this is about slavery.
Right. That's why I think the
letter from them.
You know how
they have to because of slaves. This was not because of taxes.
Look.
This is not about money. This was because they wanted to own people, and they didn't think they should have to pay for it.
Break, man, I am a big believer in what Germany did after World War II. They banned the swastika from anywhere in Germany. You're not allowed to have that in, you know, up in, as a flag in your house. I'm a big proponent of the First Amendment, but certain things I think should just be written out of history, right?
Like statues of Hitler do they have in Germany?
Yeah. I think, I mean, the history is there. We know what happened, and that should always be preserved. But artifacts like, and artifacts should be preserved as well, but not in people's houses, right?
Statues are meant as a memorialization. How many statues of General Lee are there?
I think those all should be taken down, and a lot of them destroyed.
The leader of the biggest group of traitors in America.
I agree. Breakman, I think you, years ago, when we very first talked about this subject, I became a big fan of yours because you very eloquently discussed how the South were a bunch of traitors, right? It's not about history and genetics and family and all that bullshit that they want to give you, right? The flag, the Confederate flag, should be forever wiped out from our culture. I believe, just like
the Confederate flag is the white flag.
I believe like how the Germans believe, like the Nazi flag should forever be, you know, looked down upon as the worst thing that ever happened to their country. That's how we should look at the Confederate flag. I don't care if you're from the South, the North, the East, the West, the Timbuktu, it doesn't matter. That flag has no business.
I think the only place you should really be allowed to use it is in media.
In a museum, Eric. I'll go one step further.
Within media, so like if it's like doing a movie about,
maybe a historical reenactment, possibly, but you have to go through a lot of hoops to get to be able to use it in your movie. You know what I mean? Because I think what Breakman says is an undervalued and underlooked thing in this country. I think that the Confederate flag is a traitorous flag. And it has nothing to do with heritage and history. It does have to do with history, but a very dark history that we should look down upon. Period.
Yes. Period. You should be memorializing it.
Never. And the fact that, like, the Mississippi I think it's the Mississippi flag still has it on its flag, and a couple other states have that. I think, South Carolina or something. I mean, it's just disgraceful in this country that a bunch of traitors still have their quote-unquote legacy flown as a state flag. It's shameful. And those people should be ashamed of themselves, period. And that's enough about that. I don't want to get too fired up about it. Break. Any other reviews that you got?
And next week we're going to get a bunch of anchor emails so that we're pro censorship now.
No. There's certain things like the Nazi flag. I mean, I when I see that, don't you just get angry when you see the swastika? I do. My grandfather fought in World War II. I get really angry when I see somebody has that as a tattoo, or they fly that flag.
Well, I think the worst case of media-based Nazi censorship is removing the Nazi's name from Bionic Commando and changing it to the Bads instead.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I think when it comes to media, I think you need to have that imagery because otherwise people might not make the connection.
There's a reason for the First Amendment, but this is not a reason for the First Amendment. Flying a flag that's disgraceful from a bunch of traitors is not something to be proud of at all, in my opinion.
Limits to the First Amendment. Like, you can't go screaming through the streets, I'm going to kill you!
Right.
The police show up.
No, I understand that. But I am a big ardent...
No, I'm agreeing with you, Frank. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No. We're in full agreement, Break. Like I said, you really kind of endeared yourself to me big time when you first spoke about that. It was years ago, Break, and I know you probably don't remember it, but I remember it pretty well. and you took the Confederate flag to task, and it was a pretty triumphant moment in the history of RP Grinders, and I'll never forget it for sure.
That's cool.
That
reminds me, like, people complaining about CRT being taught in schools, like, we already are not taught CRT in schools, but they're worried about them learning about our racist past.
Yes, that's what it is, honestly. Like, they've confounded the racists in the media have confounded CRT, which is something that's taught in colleges, it's an elective course, with Black History Month, essentially.
Yeah.
And, like, you could already argue it's bad enough that we don't teach our kids enough about
slavery. I agree. I think everybody
and
should learn.
The civil rights movement and how we're still enduring bullshit with that today.
Why aren't we learning about CRT and Native American culture and what happened there? Like, I remember...
Like, make CRT a high school elective or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Like,
it's,
make certain portions of it mandatory, but we make other portions of it elective.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
The parts have to do with the legal part.
Break, did you have any more reviews or?
That's it.
All right. Eric, I know you got a few reviews, and I'll go through mine pretty quick after yours. What you got?
I've got Hawkeye, Moonlight, or Moon Knight, sorry. the Moonlight. Empty Man, and maybe the first season of The Mandalorian season one. Because I might just save that for next week so I can cover both of them. I don't know, maybe I'll do impressions of season one. So.
Yeah. That'd be fine. What you got? Hawkeye first.
Hawkeye. I thought it was pretty fun. And if you wanted a buddy cop like movie series or whatever, and you didn't feel like Falcon and the Winter Soldier did it, this one does it better. But that it really depends on how much you actually liked Clinton Barton and his role as Hawkeye in the MCU thus far. Because the general opinion online is that he sucks.
I like him. I like him quite a bit, actually. I mean, he's one of the few heroes that doesn't have, like, super abilities other than he can shoot arrows really well. You know?
Side note, Jeremy Renner played Jeffrey Dahmer in a...
No, it was Evan Peters. Evan Peters.
Mm. No, I read the...
Look it up. Look it up, Break.
Okay.
All right.
But anyways, it also eventually gets to the point where they resolve the plot thread at the end of the Black Widow movie.
Break, I know what you're thinking of. He played Jeffrey Dahmer in a movie years ago. Yes. I thought you meant this
the new one
series.
No. Oh, okay. No. I was saying he played Jeffrey Dahmer before.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. I got you. Yeah. All right.
I don't know how much they're going to lean into it, but it did make hints that certain aspects at least of the original Daredevil series will make it into the new MCU with the new Daredevil show.
Gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
But I really liked it, and I think Kate's a much better Hawkeye. But the one of the things I didn't like is something that MCU's done from the beginning. Well, maybe not the beginning, maybe more towards the middle, but like the beginning of the middle, but and then on. But is, oh, look how stupid and silly the character designs for Marvel characters were back in the day. Let's make Hawkeye have a goofy last-looking costume and have him talk about how stupid it looks.
Yeah.
They've done this again and again.
Well,
and again.
You know why they're doing that, Eric, is because fans like me of the comics are like, why can't they just make reference to it? You know, and they get that over and over, so that's a way of addressing it. I mean, that's the best way to address it, to be honest.
Yeah, but they're doing the whole metaverse thing. That's a better way of addressing it. They did it with Loki and the classic Loki. The old Loki is wearing the classic outfit.
Yeah. All right, so what are you giving Hawkeye?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, moving on to Moon Knight, I believe.
Moon Knight, I think it's the start, maybe, along with Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness is the start of them doing more horror-themed content in the MCU. Because there's a lot of violent stuff going on in Moon Knight. And it also deals with mental health issues, because Stephen has multiple personality disorder. And we learn later that he might not be the one that was originally in charge.
Yeah.
And we also learn about the one that's actually been doing all the violence. But Ethan Hawke was good as a villain. I think he would have made a better Michael Morbius instead of Jared Leto, but whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, so I can't comment. But I thought
maybe if he was there, it could have been a much better movie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought he was too old or something. I don't know. But I'm going to give Moon Knight a 9.5.
Yeah, I think that's a solid score, Eric. I think it's my favorite.
It's got the right balance of goofy and serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And it introduces the MCU into the other gods in that universe, in the multiverse, and they'll probably play a role in the upcoming Avengers films.
Right, right. All right, so moving on to The Empty Man, which is a movie, right?
Yeah, and today, either today or tomorrow, I don't know the exact time they're going to take the movie down, but it's leaving HBO Max, and apparently there is no physical release of the movie anywhere, and it's also leaving every other streaming platform it's been put on so far. So, you might have to search the high seas and Yar to download it. but it is a horror slash psychological murder mystery movie with some supernatural elements. And like its intro is about how over the course of these 3 days these hikers were on the mountains, and one basically goes insane and causes others to go insane, and they all end up dying except them. We don't learn what happens to this guy until much later in the film, but it cuts to 2018, where a former police officer, or who's now a detective, a private detective, is investigating the mysterious disappearance of several youths following the missing disappearance of someone's daughter. And he finds out about this organization and how they're linked to a possible conspiracy to summon a supernatural entity. And it's kind of got like a, I guess it's kind of got like a Silent Hill vibe, and it also kind of reminds me of a Japanese horror movie I saw a long time ago. I can't quite remember the name of it, though.
Breaking news, Slagar's in chat. He said, couldn't get logged on soon enough. But wow, I think I agreed with Frank on something. That's a first, Slagar. It's all good, man. Welcome into chat. So,
let's see why I had to get in here. Like, this is amazing news. I think hell's freezing over. I gotta tell everybody.
I know, right? All right, continue on, Eric.
Anyways, so this is it's actually a 2-hour long movie, and I felt like that was a little bit too long, because the movie does kind of drag its feet a little in certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still, like, it was still unsettling, and I enjoyed the feeling of being unsettled.
Yeah.
And, like I said, you're going to have a very limited window to watch this, and so you might want to just check a torrent somewhere.
Or alternatively, you can get it on Vudu for $10.
Yeah, but like I said, though, I think it's actually leaving all streaming platforms. So
wow. Well, okay. Well, for today at least, you can buy it for $10.
So well, and I mean, Vudu might be the exception to the rule, but you'll have to buy it at that point. But like $10 isn't a lot, though. So, I give this movie 8.5.
Ooh, wow. For a horror movie from Eric, that's actually high praise. Right on, Eric. Empty Man. All right. And now you're moving on to your impressions of The Mandalorian.
Is pretty good, Rick. That's all I can really say about that spoiler.
It really is, man. Mandalorian,
is an insult. Pretty good as an insult. It's pretty perfect.
It's pretty fucking good, man. I don't know about perfect,
because I haven't watched the rest of the season.
It's pretty perfect, Eric. I'm gonna back what not quite 10 perfect, but pretty up there.
Change my verdict next week.
Yeah, so maybe. We'll see. Hopefully you'll watch season 2, man. It's pretty fucking good.
I thought it was funny that, like, Grogu just put a frog in his mouth. I tweeted, like, yesterday or the day before, like Grogu forgot to read the frog manual. Don't eat frog. I didn't tweet that part, but he should not eat frog.
Well, maybe that's what his native food is frog. maybe that's what, like...
Yeah, that frog was a little too big for it.
Yeah, a little
one,
bit.
The other one is perfect size.
Maybe eat tadpoles first. But, yeah, pretty good. All right, well, we'll look forward to next week what you think of.
He also loves playing with the machine.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got a couple of reviews for you, too, along with an impression. I got a chance to see a movie called Speak No Evil last night. And, whew, if you guys like tense, slow-burn movies with a wicked twist, this is a movie for you. It's not, I mean, it's got some pacing issues and things of that nature. It's a Dutch movie, so the acting, I mean, you can, they're speaking in English for the most part, so you can understand that there's kind of a gap to bridge. It's not perfect. It's clunky in parts, but it's pretty fucking good. So I'm going to give this movie an 8 out of 10. I think you guys should watch it. It's on Shudder, and I don't know if it's on other platforms. I'm pretty sure it's a Shudder exclusive, but rent it if you can. It's worth a watch with a wicked twist. And Speak No Evil is an apt title for this movie. The next movie, now, I believe Brake gave his first 0 he's ever given. And I think I'm going to head that way with this next movie. I might talk myself out of it here in a second, but I had the absolute displeasure of watching a movie on Netflix called The Munsters, which is a movie by Rob Zombie.
The Munsters.
Holy fuck, is this movie bad. I hated this movie. I'm trying to find good. I like to find the good in things for the most part. I really don't know what to say that's really good about this movie.
To be fair, I've never seen The Munsters as a particularly good show.
I liked it. It was fun. Yeah, I mean,
Mrs. Breakman likes The Munsters, so I thought she was going to be excited about this, and she's like, I saw a preview. I'm not going
to
see this.
Holy fuck. Tell her to stay far away from it, Breakman. It is. It's a monstrosity. The only... I think the guy that played Herman Munster got most of the mannerisms right from the show, but I don't think they should have went that direction with it. I think it was too forced. Sherry Moon Zombie was fine in it. Most of the time I think her acting kind of sucks, but she's been getting better as she's, you know, aged.
What if this movie was a Netflix plot to upsell Wednesday once it finally drops?
Wednesday is going to be much better. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not even close, and I haven't even seen even a preview of Wednesday, and I know it's going to be better than this piece of junk, man. The plot was awful. They missed a golden opportunity. Like Cassandra Peterson was in it. I don't know if you guys know who Cassandra Peterson is, but that's Elvira. She basically has it's like a middling role. It's not huge, but it's not a small role. But they missed one of the plot points was she's going to dress up for Halloween, right? How could you not let her dress up as Elvira and she didn't even have to act as Elvira. She could have just dressed up as, I mean, it was just a, oh God, they screwed it up, man. Mm-hmm. It was so bad and so badly written and edited. The editing was fucking awful, man. I mean, I can't even tell you how bad the editing was alone. The direction, I mean, Rob Zombie should just...
Was Rob on drugs or something?
He had to have been. This was so bad. Like, it just... you know what? For Sherry Moon Zombie's sake, I'm going to give it a 1 out of 10. But it was just not worth even like 20 minutes. It was so bad. Like, 5 minutes. And
this is pretty good to disagree. She thinks your rating's too high. Or
it could have been. It could have been. But Sherry Moon was fine in it. I mean, it was fine. It was okay. You know, it just... I watched the preview, and that's pretty much how junky the movie is, right? Cyberpunk 2077 anime is pretty fucking good so far. I've seen 6 episodes, almost 7 episodes of it.
It's probably more cyberpunk than cyberpunk is.
I agree. I mean, the game, like, I wasn't impressed with the game, but the anime is pretty good. I mean, it's not the greatest anime I've ever seen, but if I was to grade it right now, I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. I mean, it's fine. So that's my impression so far. But I'll have a review, full review next week of that. But we need to move on to Stinko.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the week.
Breakman, your Stinko of the week.
Got you. All right. Let me go ahead and start with the Jeffrey Dahmer thing, since I talked about that. That, but the people who worship these serial killers, like, back when Jeffrey Dahmer committed this, he was getting, you know, love mail and and money sent to him, you know, and naked pictures from people. And same thing is starting to happen again. Like, now this is huge, but it's a popular thing. It was like number one on Netflix. I think it might still be number one. So a lot of people have seen it, and there are people on TikTok going crazy over him. Like, this, it happened again when they did the Ted Bundy?
Ted Bundy before that, yep.
Like, I do not understand. What the fuck?
Well, it happened even before that with Charles Manson, Breakman.
Yeah, like, you're right.
Like, it's this weird phenomenon. It's sort of like a Stockholm syndrome, but like for society in general. Like, they just don't get like how horrific these people were. Like, another one was the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez. He was thought of as like a huge sex symbol. You know, it's like, ugh, you guys are ridiculous. Like, it reminds me, like, there's a scene in She-Hulk, which is pretty good, by the way. If you guys haven't seen She-Hulk, it's pretty damn good.
Well, it's not that it's not really that I'm waiting. It's that I'm trying to binge everything on HBO so I can cancel it.
Wow.
So mostly I wasn't paying attention, but Mrs. Bregman wanted to watch the Dahmer show, so we watched
binge it. Everything on HBO and cancel it before they decide to cancel whatever you're watching.
House of Dragons is fucking good.
That's the other thing, is if I can watch it before it's fucking gone, whatever it is.
House of Dragons is pretty good, I will say, Breakman. That's really fucking good on HBO, if you get a chance to catch that. But I just, I don't know. I don't even know what I was talking about. But go ahead, Breakman. You were continuing.
The next is Coolio died. What the fuck?
Yeah, I had that as my Stinko as well.
What was it? I never read the article. I just saw the headline that said he died, and it was at 59.
I have no idea how he died. I mean, that's to be determined. But he died in the bathroom. Like, one of his friends...
he said slipped and hit his head, maybe?
No, he was
they didn't say. There's no, like, it's just he was in the bathroom, and they couldn't get to him, and by the time they got to him, he was already dead.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't come out of the bathroom after a while, and they went in there, and he was dead. I mean, it's just, I don't know if it was drug-related, or he just had a heart attack, or, I mean, it's up in the air. We don't know.
I don't think it was drug related. Like, he, I don't think he had like that, like maybe a history of it, but like he wasn't like, I don't know. He didn't seem like he was the kind of guy who was like heavily into the.
Oh, he was
not Ozzy Osbourne. I'm surprised he's.
He was heavily into drugs, Breakman.
For as long as he was.
When he was younger, but I'm saying like now.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the family man and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It was shocking. 59 years old is way too young to die. But then again, you know, a lot of rock stars die when they're young. So it's just, you know.
The ones that do it themselves are the ones that are really
good. Yeah. Freak Five says his stinko is just that work has been shitty. Sorry, Freak Five. I know that there's a lot of that going around. All right, what else you got, Breakman?
One last one, and that one goes to a reporter, a journalist. They wonder why they're the right now one of the most hated groups or professions in America. This is the kind of reason why. Not because of the stuff that Fox News spreads and the lies that are happening on a lot of the right-wing media. It's when people like Maggie Haberman, who's extensively reported on Trump, hides details about him to write later in a book and make money off of.
Yep.
You lose people's trust when you do actions like this.
Yep.
This is why your profession, Maggie, is in dire straits right now, is because people like you are doing what you can instead of being the journalists and reporters that we see in comics like the Lois Lanes. You're out there doing the Donald Trump making a buck thing.
This is the reason, Breakman, that people are turning to people like myself for actual journalism. Like when I get out there and I'm on a shooting scene, for instance, and I try to get interviews like on the spot, and I try to interview cops or people that were on the scene or stuff. That's why people are turning to YouTube more and more for their actual news than they are turning to local news and national news. Because you can't...
They've lost trust.
Yeah, there's no trust. You can't trust that they're going to give you the information that you need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the argument, and it's not just her, it's just widespread, because there are a lot of journalists that have just popped out of the woodwork to defend her with things like, well, I mean, what? Since she was holding back some info on Trump, what was going to happen? Was Trump going to get more impeached with her information? No, it's not about Trump. It's about a reporter reporting to the public.
Yeah.
You know, not doing her job, instead deciding that she's just going to hold information, you know, because she can make money off it later.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That's not reporting. That's not journalism.
It's not. And like I said, Brake, that's why people more and more are turning to citizen journalists like myself. Because they can't... They just simply cannot trust, you know, the fact that, you know, that they're going to get the information that they need at all. You know,
This is why people that don't trust, like, CNN, for instance. Like, they like to report some of the facts, but not all the facts. You know?
Right.
Of course, the I'm not talking about the partisan people, the people that listen to the watch the Fox News and MSNBC.
Right.
Like those people they're already in that camp and they're staying there. You know, they're looking to be placated. They're not looking for, and they're looking for confirmation in their own beliefs. They're not looking for actual news and stuff like that.
Right.
But when people who claim they're journalists, you know, do this stuff.
No, you're right, man. 100%. All right, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Eric, I didn't see one under you.
Yeah, I don't really have any.
Mine is, well, Breakman mentioned Coolio passing. I really enjoyed Coolio's work as an artist, and just a cool dude all around, seemingly.
What was his best song?
Gangster's Paradise, man. Come on.
No, that's incorrect.
That's not incorrect.
Fantastic Boy.
Fantastic Boy, but that's a remake of another song.
I know,
song,
but I'm just saying.
No, his best song is definitely, you know.
He won a Grammy for that, didn't he?
Yeah. And then also My Back Pain is...
Like Fantastic Boy.
Fantastic Boy is a great song. My back has been hurting me, like, tremendously. Like, it actually started before Vegas, and then I went to Vegas, and towards the end of the trip, I felt like I had to, like, stop every, like, you know, 25 minutes or so just to, you know, relax. But, you know, just one of those things. But let's move on to happier things here.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
All right, Eric, I didn't see a Sweeto under yours, so I'll go right to Break. Break, what's your Sweeto of the week?
Mine goes to the Cincinnati Bengals, who as of... if we had a show last week, we didn't, but if we did, going into the weekend, the Bengals would have been 0-2. Now, since last week, they played two games, and now they're 2-2, so...
How dare you, Freak Five. I should have put this in my Stinko... Break. My stinko, another stinko of mine should go to the coach of the Dolphins for playing Tua. Why? I mean, I actually put $10 on the Fins last night because I thought Tua was playing pretty great, but in thinking about it, I shouldn't have done that at all. Because he wasn't right, and you could tell he wasn't right. And then he got slammed to the ground, and I don't know if you saw that footage break, but holy crap, that guy's...
I honestly was shocked that there wasn't a penalty. I think he should have been penalized.
And
I think
should have been penalized, and also Tua shouldn't have been playing in that game. Because
I agree with that, but I'm saying, like, the Bengals player, like, I love the team, but that guy needs to be fined. There's no call for him slamming Tua like that.
Yeah, I agree. Freak 5 is exiled, but also he says his sweeto is Mrs. Freak has made it 2 weeks without being admitted to the hospital. That's really good, Freak. That's good progress, man. Hopefully.
I think we should be really worried about Tua going forward because it sounds like they might want to try and play him next week. So.
I would probably put him on IR for 4 weeks because brain injuries are no joke.
The way they run their organization in Miami and the attitude of most players that I need to get back out on the field attitude.
Yeah.
I just think that unless somebody intervenes, Miami's going to try and run him out next week.
I agree. I mean, that's not the way to do it, man. It's total bullshit, man.
They're definitely not putting people's health first.
I was looking at a lot of doctor advice, like actual doctors on YouTube, and they're like, there's no way you should be playing for at least 3 weeks because you need that long for your brain, like hemorrhages, like those mini brain hemorrhages that he had, which he definitely had, to heal. And if they don't, he could...
I think we've talked about concussions before. I've had one. I think you had one before too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's not something like you should be getting back out and like doing sports with or something, you know?
Yeah.
I showed you, Frank, that that study about all the high school related injuries.
Yeah.
From football.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. I mean,
it was close to like what 500,000 or so.
I will say it's gotten a lot better in the NFL once they started, you know, using different helmets and changing the rules and, you know, a bunch of other things. But I mean, things like that, like it's got to be coaches' discretion. Like, not even the medical experts can. I mean, it was plain as day. I mean, last week when he was playing against the Bills and he got, you know, hurt, he was like walking. I don't know if you saw that break, man. He was walking and his offensive linemen were helping him off the field. And it's like, that dude's just not right, man. He needs time to heal. I mean, and this time is even worse. He seized up. Like, somebody's going to die.
Have you seen his hands like that?
Yeah. It might not be Tua, break, man, but somebody's going to die. Somebody like that's going to die, and maybe then they'll do something. But
well, the mentality of 99.9% of the athletes is they want to get out.
Of course, but they can't make that judgment. Their judgment
And I'm saying so. It has to be somebody who's like can be reasonable about it. The situation, like a head coach or something, that has to say for your own health, you can't.
Right, it has to be the head coach.
Instead, they're going the opposite.
Right, it has to be the head coach break because the medical experts only have the medical diagnosis in front of them. Right, so you get through the concussion protocol and that's it. Right, but it has to be a coach that says. I was listening to Orlando Franklin, who used to be an offensive guard for the Denver Broncos, who got a concussion, and he passed the protocols, right? And then one of the coaches said, you're not going out there. We need you for the playoffs, right? So even he knew that there was something wrong. So there has to be somebody with an objective mind that can say, we need these players on the field, but in a safe way. It's got to be the coach. That's the only person. Because it can't be the medical staff. They've already determined that there's a concussion protocol that you know, most people can pass. You know, it's like a memorization thing. And that's just the way that it is. It has to be a coach's discretion. And he has to think about what the medical people say. And he also has to look at that person and look at the film and say, you know what, I'm keeping you out this week. I don't care if you're our star quarterback. You know? I mean, it's got to end. Either that or somebody's going to die. Or a lot more people are going to end up like Junior Seau and kill themselves after they play, which I guess they don't care about, you know, after they play.
Or,
but
we're dealing with real, like, physical and mental handicaps.
Right, right. That
most NFL players deal with now. I mean,
right, right.
Have you seen Joe Montana try to walk?
Yeah, it's amazing that he can even walk, you know? Freak Pipe says, also the new fiscal year starts tomorrow, so we get our vacation for the year, and it's my fifth year there, so I get an extra week every year now. That's awesome. Not that I use it. You should use it all, yes, Freak Five. Use every bit of it, dude. You know, no matter what.
I only have three vacation days left this year, yeah. And so I'm just going to use the three of them before my birthday.
Yeah, just use it for mental health, Freak Five, just to get away, dude. I mean,
check the weather reports, seeing like what's coming up, like in the horizon, and figure out like when the best chances of like heavy snowfall are going to be. Call those days off, you know?
Right?
Vacation
right.
days, well, that's just so you don't have to deal with.
Right.
I'm just taking off. It's gonna snow.
Right.
It might. There might be like a quarter of an inch of snow. That's too much.
Right. That's too much for me. All right. Now here's my sweeto of the week, and everybody's here is going to be interested to hear this. We talked about me making $5,000 and giving you guys $500 each, right? If I won $5,000. Well, I didn't do that. I didn't win $5,000. But what I did win was a little over $2,000, which I ended up spending most of in Vegas, because that's what you do when you're in Vegas. You have a lot of fun, right? So that's part of my sweeto, and I want a little bit of money. So instead of paying you guys $500, I've decided it's not much, but I came back with a little bit of money. I'm going to give Breakman $50 to his system or whatever, even if you want a Visa card or whatever. I'm going to give you $50, and I'm going to give Eric $100. And I'll tell you why I'm going to give Eric $100. I'm going to give Eric $100 because $50 is just going to be just because. And the other $50 is because his birthday is coming up. So Breakman is going to get $50, and Eric's going to get $100, a little bit of my winnings from Vegas. So
thanks, Frank. Go.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Slagar says, end of the year. We start Monday with a nice raise. That's awesome, Slagar. Right on. Cashing out. If you can cash it out, yeah, save that extra week, Freak Five. But if you can't, you know.
I can't carry my weekend or vacation days over, so I have to spend them.
Yeah, just spend them, man. Shit. I mean, Bernie got screwed over when the new company took over. Instead of saying that she had a certain amount of vacation days, they converted those to sick days, and they don't pay you for sick days. So it was kind of bullshit. So
yeah, we don't even get sick days. It kind of sucks. I complained about that for years.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you, Freak Five? You're exiled, you son of a bitch.
Surprised I haven't got fired for complaining about it.
All right. So, yeah, I'm going to send Break on over 50. What would you prefer, Break? What did your...
In pennies, that'd be cool.
In pennies, okay. Mm-hmm.
It'll probably cost you more to ship it.
I know, right? Sending $50 of pennies would cost me probably more than the $50. No, like what? Like, would you prefer just a normal like Visa gift card? Would you prefer,
I prefer just to save the money and invest it into the show.
Well, I'm investing in you guys. You guys are part of the show, so $50 going to you. I've already paid.
Probably need some money soon.
What's that?
I said Podbean probably needs some money soon. Or
I already paid Podbean, man, for the year. So I paid Podbean. So everything's paid for. Break or like what you want an Xbox card? You want a Switch card? What would you prefer?
Just surprise me.
Just surprise you. Okay, I'll surprise you, Eric. What would you prefer?
I'd like probably a Best Buy card, because then I could just use it for whatever.
All right, Best Buy card it is. So there you go. All right, let's move on to Free For All. All right, guys. Breakman has put together a pretty awesome bracket, if I don't say so myself. He's put together the scariest games of all time. It is it's not quite October, but starting tomorrow it is October, yeah, I believe.
We're hours away from October.
Yeah, like literally we're hours away. So we're going to go ahead and do this. We're going to do the scariest games of all time. Now, you didn't take into account any which system, I don't think. Breakman, no, I think.
There's some old and new games in here. There's no system. There's PC. There's Xbox, PlayStation, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've looked at this list, and it's pretty good, and I think you guys are going to be pretty happy with it. But we're going to go ahead and get started. Breakman, you're going to be the lead on this. You go ahead, and I think we're going to start at the top, though, right?
Let me get kicked back and relax. Here we go. Ready for the final? Let's determine what the scariest game of all time is.
Yes.
I'm going to begin with one of the original scary games to me, the original Resident Evil, and it's going to get against an old school, back in the 90s horror, first person shooter, System Shock.
Ooh.
Frank, you're the horror guru. You can start this.
Oh God, this is a really tough one. Break, because System Shock was fucking scary as fuck. Had that AI system that was really scary. But for me, the first Resident Evil was also really scary. I believe that debuted on the PlayStation, right?
Yes.
The original PlayStation. I'm going Resident Evil, but just by the slimmest of margins. So I'm Resident Evil for me.
I'm going to go ahead and go next, because for me it's also Resident Evil, because there are definitely moments in the original game I can remember being scared, like when you had to deal with the giant shark and shit, like, oh fuck, how am I going to get past this guy?
You know what's funny, Breakman? You know what's funny? You mentioned the shark, the remake, the GameCube remake, that part was even scarier, the shark part, to me.
Yeah.
It's fucking scary.
Yeah, it was to me, Resident Evil. It was the reason I got a PlayStation, was that game.
Mm.
Loved Resident Evil. Eric, you're irrelevant, but go ahead anyway.
I never even played System Shock, so it's going to be a clean sweep.
All right.
Next, we have the original Silent Hill versus a game that's disappeared into complete obscurity, Parasite Eve.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Square plans on, like, redoing a remaster. Not.
Yeah. Ooh, Wyland's in chat. He says, best horror game? No, this is scariest game of all time. And we just started Wyland, so scariest.
So there are games on this list that I don't even think are scary at all, but, you know, according to, like, reviews.
And right, such, right. Like, no, it's all good. It's all good.
Like, I didn't think Parasite Eve was a scary game, but, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's not really. So I'm voting for Silent Hill.
Yeah, what about you, Frank?
I don't think there's any question. Silent Hill's a much scarier game, although there are scary parts in Parasite Eve that are more psychological than anything, but Silent Hill, for sure.
Psychological horror does play into this, too, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Psychological stuff, you can freak yourself out.
Are you marking these down, Break, as we go, or...?
I was marking them in my notebook.
Okay.
Screen, oh,
no, it's all good. I was just wondering.
I'm doing that now.
Okay.
Let me slow myself down here while I type these out.
Sure. Yeah. Feel free.
Next we have, this is the only one where I did this: the entire Alone in the Dark series versus Clock Tower.
Well, you could have did Clock Tower series too, but you know.
Well, there's more Clock Towers in here. The Alone in the Dark series, I did it as a series because a lot of the older games just aren't really that scary.
Mm.
And the last one that they made wasn't really that scary either. But they're, you know, but every once in a while they've made one in the dark that have been pretty scary games.
Hmm.
I'm gonna go ahead and start this.
I'm hoping the new one is actually pretty scary. What?
Oh, that's just somebody yelling in the background here. Wyland says, I remember renting Silent Hill when it first came out and noped right out of it. Yeah, the last Silent Hill game that Slagar played was on the PSP. I think that was the last Silent Hill game.
No, the last one was Downpour.
Oh, Downpour, that's right.
And the PSP game was actually ported to the PS2
yeah.
eventually.
Yeah. Who's gone first on this one, Break?
I'm going them first on Alone in the Dark series, which I love it. Alone in Dark. Alone in the Dark was Resident Evil before Resident Evil. Before that, yeah. Before we had a term for that survival horror, Alone in the Dark was there.
Oh, yeah, there was one before that, my friend. There was one before that called D. I don't know if you remember that, but...
D was more an FMV adventure game, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's why I probably didn't count it. I don't think I put any like FMV. There might be one.
Maybe. Yeah, the entire D series is probably not on this list, is it?
No. Yeah, mostly for that reason. But on this one, I'm going with Clock Tower still, because the original Clock Tower was one of the most obscure experiences. You got this guy...
But by original, do you mean the SNES game or the PlayStation game?
Probably the PlayStation game.
Because that's actually the second Clock Tower game.
Yeah.
And they just renamed it the Clock Tower because we never got the first Clock Tower.
Yeah, I think it...
I said in America.
Yeah.
But he's chasing you around with a giant pair of scissors, and all you can really do is fucking hide from him.
Mm-hmm.
Clock Tower is scary as fuck to me. What about you, Frank?
I don't think there's any question. I like Alone in the Dark quite a bit, but Clock Tower. It's got, and if I didn't pick that, Bernie would kill me. Clock Tower for me.
Alone, Clock Tower, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty easy. These will get harder, I promise you. They'll be harder choices. Next, we have Corpse Party versus Fatal Frame, and I've never played either one of these. Eric, what do you think?
Definitely going for Corpse Party. I mean, I have limited experience with Fatal Frame, but Corpse Party is pretty scary.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I'm assuming you're going to me next break. This is a tough one for me because both of these games are scary as shit, man. Fuck. I'm going to go with Fatal Frame just to put Breakman on the spot.
I've never played either one of these games, so I don't actually know.
Yeah.
Sell me on it.
Okay. Fatal Frame, all you have is a camera, and that's how you fight the ghost. And the ghosts pop up at the most inopportune times and try to kill you. And there's these creepy ghosts that crawl underneath, like, small spaces that come out at you and give you the fright of your life. Corpse Party is more psychological, and I like Corpse Party quite a bit. A lot of reading in Corpse Party, but it's well worth it. It's psychological in nature and sometimes scary as shit, man. I mean, both these games are worthy of moving on. But I mean,
I gotta say, but going by your description, Fatal Frame sounded scarier to me.
Slightly, maybe slightly, maybe.
Next,
that reminds me. I need to rebuy the, or yeah, I guess I do have to rebuy Fatal Frame 5, and then I have to buy Fatal Frame 4.
Yeah,
whenever that releases.
Fatal Frame 2 versus Eternal Darkness. I'll go ahead and start this one since I've never played Fatal Frame 2 either. Eternal Darkness was an awesome game. Sometimes it would get you with like some jump scares because it was based on your I can't even talk right now. Your emotional and mental states at the moment. So sometimes like things will flash on screen, or the enemies you're fighting will change into something monstrous and stuff like that. It was really, really cool and sometimes scary. Right? Frank.
Fatal Frame 2 is even better than Fatal Frame 1 in a lot of ways. Definitely scary as hell, but Eternal Darkness, you guys have heard me talk about Eternal Darkness a lot. I think it's one of the scariest games of all time. It had the psychological element. Like, you'd be playing it, and like all of a sudden, like you would lose control on your controller, and your character's head would fall off, and you'd be walking around, and you're like, "What the fuck?" Volume would go up and down. The fucking screen would get fuzzy. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy scary game. I think Eternal Darkness is an all-time great. And I'm picking Eternal Darkness. Slagar, we're doing the scariest game of all time.
You think, Eric?
Okay, I'm going to vote for Eternal Darkness. Because I never even touched Fatal Frame 2, even though I have it. It's like on the Xbox 360. Or the Xbox, actually. I just never got around to playing it. I even have the Wii Remake, which I still don't have. Haven't played either.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
One of these days you'll get around to playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next we have Doom 3 versus Prey. And I have actually played Prey. Prey was really...
Which prey are we talking about, Brake? There's two.
Yeah, like I wasn't sure if I like if I should put the new one,
because the new one is a scary game for sure.
Yeah, but I never played it. Where,
like, and the old game is pretty scary too. The old Prey.
Yeah. That's why I put the originals.
Okay. Yeah.
But I guess we could put the new one on there too if you want.
Was there a console port of Prey?
Yes.
Is it Xbox?
It's.
On Xbox and PlayStation.
Xbox and PlayStation, yeah.
It's
good. It's really good.
Xbox 360 or is it Xbox?
Xbox 360, yeah.
Is that backwards compatible or not?
I don't know. I think it is, actually, Eric.
Is it on Game Pass?
I don't know. That I don't know.
So I'm pretty sure it was made by a different company than Arkane, who made the new one.
Freak 5, I think, yes. To answer your question, he says, wasn't Eternal Darkness in the Cthulhu mythos? I think it was Freak 5. All right. Who's going on this one, Brick?
I'm going to vote for Doom 3 since I don't have an experience with Prey.
Yeah.
He answered it before I even got to say him. How about you, Frank?
This is a tough one because Prey is really scary, but Doom 3, if I remember, Doom 3 is that one that's really dark and you're going around with the flashlight and it's really scary. I want to say Prey just to put Breakman on the spot again. I'm going to go with Prey because Prey was scary. Hard
because I've only seen like the videos of Doom 3 and they were really fucking scary, and this one is one of the games that I've always wanted to get around to playing at some point.
It's not worth playing because it's hard to play that way. Because you have to like put, you can't just leave your flashlight on and shoot. It's one of those
game better watch other people play.
Yeah, it's a game where you watch other people play for sure.
I've seen like
I tried playing that game on my PC way back when, and it barely played the game.
Yeah, it's it's good, but it's one to watch someone else play for sure.
It wasn't optimized well for the time.
What are you picking, Brake?
Well, you guys have just sold me on voting for Prey.
Yeah, Prey is.
You kind of swayed me away from Doom. I was just thinking about like those jump scares, and it can be. I really hate jump scares because they're cheap.
I don't mind them, but if they're done right, you know, it's the same.
Done right, like
yeah.
Most of the time, they're not. Sometimes, like you get something like The Conjuring or something.
Yeah, Usually not. I like Prey a lot, man. I think Prey's an underrated game.
I like Prey too.
Yeah.
Next, we have a Manhunt versus Outlast. I've never played Outlast, but Outlast is similar to the theme of Clock Tower, where you're just hiding and not back. Where in Manhunt, you were a serial killer and you were doing some fucking freaky ass kills to people.
Yeah. Which
was pretty awesome. And it wasn't overtly scary most of the time, but there are times when enemies could jump out at you and surprise you, and it had. Back in the PlayStation 2 days, it was one of the few like single player games that actually utilized the microphone.
Mm.
So if you played it with the microphone, you could like kind of scare the enemies or trip them up or like you know.
Yeah.
But if you're not paying attention and maybe you talk to a friend like I did, and the enemy can overhear you and
yeah.
Like, hey, I hear you over there. Oh shit. Going fuck that. Like I said, I don't think Manhunt was as scary as the whole theory of or the whole theme of Outlast. You can't fight back, you just hide and run.
So, I'd rather play Outlast anyway, so I'm voting for Outlast.
Frank, I didn't even ask you, but okay, Frank, what about you?
Manhunt is a scary game for different reasons. I played it. I understand how like it was a controversial game for sure.
It was really controversial. It was a really fucking awesome game. I love the original Manhunt.
I think I liked it too, Breakman. But it did made me feel dirty when I played it. Like you're executing people, right?
Oh yeah, that was the fair part.
Yeah. but also there was a Punisher game like that too, where you were just that's what you were doing. But
I never played it, but I read about that.
Yeah. Outlast though, Breakman, you gotta play Outlast. It's super cheap right now. Just buy it. And it's scary as fuck because not only is it like a clock tower you have to run and hide type thing, but essentially you have like night vision goggles on all the time, and it's scary as fuck, man. It's one of the scariest games of all time that I've ever played, for sure.
Yeah, I was reading up on it when I was picking these games. I was trying to find like it. So at a certain point, I gave up. So you can probably tell there are some games in here. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Anyways, let's move on. And I'm gonna go ahead and start this one. Next, we have The Suffering versus Five Nights at Freddy's. Is one of those games where I didn't know if it was fucking scary or not. But
Five Nights at Freddy's is scary.
Okay. Some people had it like listed as scary, but I've heard of it, and that's it. No.
Yeah.
I see every once in a while in the store, like in Pops, they've got like those Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
But anyway, The Suffering, I've talked many times about The Suffering, so I'm not going to get into it, but The Suffering is an easy pick for me.
It's not quite as an easy pick for me, Break, but Five Nights at Freddy's, if you want to talk about jump scares done right, Five Nights at Freddy's does it pretty good. But that being said, The Suffering is one of the most criminally underrated scary games of all time. I have to go with The Suffering. Was Manhunter a movie port? No, it was not, Slagar. It was just its own thing.
You were a serial killer, and you were playing this psychopath's game where he has you basically hunted down by other serial killers, you have to kill them or be killed.
Eric, what do you think?
You want to do it in the most graphic ways possible, usually.
Eric, what do you think about this Suffering and Five Nights?
I'm going to vote for The Suffering. I never played any of the Five Nights at Freddy's, and honestly, they're less scary and more jump scary.
Yeah, I mean, but they do have some scare value, too. I mean, I've seen my son play quite a few of those games, and they were scary, to me anyways.
Yeah. Okay, next bracket, and I can tell I messed up because Fatal Frame 2 was actually supposed to be in this bracket. I forgot one I was supposed to change. We'll get to that.
It's all good.
The reason is there's a theme with most of these, except for the one I screwed up with Fatal Frame. Starting out with Clock Tower 2 versus System Shock 2. Frank.
Oh, man. System Shock 2, I don't remember being as freaky as the first one. But I do remember Clock Tower 2 being along the same lines. I'm going Clock Tower 2.
I also am going Clock Tower 2. The same. I mean, it was.
Are you guys high? Clock Tower 2 is dog shit.
No, it's not dog shit, man. It's all right.
It's not even scary.
Well, that's relevant to everybody else, man. So I'm taking it. You pick System Shock.
On something. It's taken us one. It took a whole bracket, but we finally disagreed on something.
Yeah, I know. We agreed on everything else. So you would pick System Shock, do you, Eric?
Yeah, even not having played it, because I have played Clock Tower 2, and I was very disappointed.
All right.
Next, we have Condemned 2 versus Amnesia, and this is a Machine of Pigs sequel. I have never played Amnesia. It sounds interesting. I played the original Condemned, but I didn't play the second one. Mm. So this is kind of one of those where I'm not really sure what to pick. So what about you, Eric?
I haven't played Amnesia as a Machine for Pigs, but I have played the original Amnesia. And based on that, I'd pick that. So I'm voting for a Machine for Pigs. Okay. You have Of Pigs on here, but it's Four Pigs.
I played both of these games. Condemned 2 is not nearly as scary as Condemned 1. I was kind of disappointed in that aspect. Look, the gameplay is much better in Condemned 2, but it's not nearly as scary as Condemned 1. Amnesia, on the other hand, is scary. And it looks like we were disconnected, but we should be back here in a second.
War Pigs, is that what you said?
Yeah. War Pigs. It's good. It's really good.
I'm just gonna go with you guys because I've never played.
Play the original Amnesia, man, and you'll know what scary is, man.
So here's my mistake. This was supposed to be in the bracket up top. It was supposed to be Eternal Darkness versus Alan Wake.
Oh. Mm. Ooh, that would have been a.
Two was supposed to be going up against Slender the Eight Pages. My bad, it's Alan Wake versus Slender the Eight Pages. I'm going to go ahead and start Alan Wake. Just based on gameplay footage I've seen of Alan Wake. I've never played Slender, and frankly, it doesn't seem that interesting to me. Frank, what about you?
It's definitely going to be Alan Wake. Alan Wake is a scary-ass game, but if your original matchup would have been Alan Wake and Eternal Darkness, I mean, that would have been a matchup for the ages. Maybe we still will get that, but Slender doesn't look very interesting to me. It looks like more jump scary than anything Alan Wake, for sure. It has the jump scares plus some psychological shit going on. What about you, Eric?
Going for Alan Wake.
Yeah. Clean sweep again. Next, we have the, and I haven't played it, but I've just seen some video of it, and it looks really gorgeous. The Resident Evil 2 remake versus The Suffering 2. I guess I'm going to start. Suffering 2 is on my pile of shame. It's one of those games that I haven't played. I am shamed, disgraced. But I've seen video of that, and I have seen video of Resident Evil 2 remake. Like I said, the Resident Evil 2 remake looks really scary. It looks really good. I gotta go with Resident Evil 2. Frank, what about you?
I played both of the... Well, I did not play Resident Evil 2 remake, but I've seen plenty of video of it. Scary as fuck. It comes to mind. Suffering 2 is really good, too, but... I don't know, man. I'm going to go with Resident Evil 2 as well.
I think. I need to get back to Resident Evil 2 remake, but I haven't even played The Suffering 2, but based on Jim Sterling's account of it, it didn't sound like a very good game compared to the first. And so I'm voting for Resident Evil 2 remake.
Clean sweep again. Next we have Silent Hill 2 versus Manhunt 2. Just like this is another case of a sequel not being as good as the first one for one, and a sequel being better than the original for the other. That being said, Silent Hill 2 was better than the original, and War Manhunt 2 was not as good as Silent Hill 2. What about you, Eric?
Silent Hill 2. I didn't even play Manhunt 2, but Manhunt just did not interest me in the day, so I never played them out of sheer uninterest.
I wasn't really interested. But what I saw the second one, I really wasn't interested too. It didn't catch like to me what the first one caught. What about you, Frank?
I don't think there's any question that Silent Hill 2 is in the pantheon of greatest scary games of all time. Matter of fact, I would put Silent Hill 2 on my short list to be on the Mount Rushmore of greatest games of all time. So Silent Hill 2 for me.
Okay. Next, we have Fear 2, that's all capital letters, F-E-A-R, 2 versus The Last of Us Part 2. I am going to let... Eric, you don't get to start very often.
I neither played either of these, but from what I played of the first Fear, it kind of bored me, so I'm just going to go for The Last of Us 2.
Asshole! I'm sorry, I said my throat.
Then again, I only played the first Fear, so... Who knows? But like I said, I don't have much reference for Fear. I haven't even played Last of Us 2, but I have played Last of Us, so it's more of that, so...
I was a big fan of Fear. I love Fear, and I love Fear 2. Second one, I don't think it was as scary as the original. I mean, it still had the same theme. It still had the spooky girl, and, you know, ghosts would pop out at random times and shit, and you're running for your life, But just the second one, not as good as the first one. However, I never played The Last of Us Part 2, so I'm still going with Fear 2. What about you, Frank?
You know what? I'm going to agree with you, Breakman. I'm going with Fear 2, and I actually disagree with you slightly. I think Fear 2 actually is just as scary as the first. And that's surprising from a first-person shooter. You don't normally get that level of actual fear, not F-E-A-R, but actual fear. Last of Us 2 is more of the same, and I really wasn't super scared of the first game, so Fear for me is all the way. Yeah.
And the other thing that was really scary was the AI in that game. Sometimes, like, they would get behind you and flank you at certain points where you're already kind of tense because of the ghosts.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's a guy behind
you
with a gun.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, you're alive. Oh, God. Oh, you're shooting at me. Fuck. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, next, moving on, we have Bioshock 2 versus The Evil Within 2. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and start this one. I think Bioshock 2 is criminally underrated. I think it is scarier than the first one, and there are some disturbing moral choices that you have to make in the second game. You get to choose whether you get to kill the little girls or not, those creepy little girls. But what's really scary is when you hear the... I forget what it was, like the siren call or something. The female version of the big
yeah the siren.
Daddy's
Yeah, the sirens.
When you hear that, it's like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. Shit, not again, you know. Like, that, just that sound causes, like a sense of fear in me every single time I heard it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I gotta deal with that shit again. So I go Bioshock 2. What about you, Frank?
I'm gonna disagree with you, Breakman, only because The Evil Within 2 is fucking scary as shit. The Evil Within 1 was scary. The Evil Within took it to Part 2 took it to a new level, man. I mean, that you want to talk about criminally underrated. I tend to agree with you on Bioshock 2, but it's nothing compared to Evil Within 2. I'm going with Evil Within 2.
Eric, you're the tiebreaker.
I think Shinji Mikami knows how to do horror, and I don't think Kevin Levine doesn't know how to do horror. So I'm voting for Evil Within 2.
Yeah.
Last one in this
bracket. Don't flank me, bro, Slayhar says, for fear. Yeah, for sure.
Make me pee myself. This one, I think this one might be a really good one here.
Oof.
I'm going to let Eric pick first. Dead Space 2 versus Outlast 2.
I never played either of the Outlast, but I have played Dead Space 2, and I really like that, so I'm voting for it.
Ooh. This is a really tough choice for me. They're both great games. Outlast 2 is scary as all get out, but Dead Space 2 is... Okay, when I first played Dead Space 1, I was scared out of my gourd, but Dead Space 2 was even scarier than that, which I didn't think was possible. I'm going with Dead Space 2 barely.
And it makes you really do some disturbing stuff.
Yes, but just barely. I'm going with Dead Space 2.
Deal with those baby heads? Fuck.
Yeah. Dead Space 2 is crazy, crazy scary. Yeah. But Outlast 2 is... I mean, I don't want you guys to not play Outlast 2, because those games are scary as all get out, man.
Yeah, they sound like it, but I love Dead Space 2. I think
if they ever make like a PS5 or an Xbox Series X version of the Outlast games, then I'll play them.
Yeah, they're really good, man. Really, really good.
So Dead Space 2 is moving on.
Yep.
Because I don't think either of those two games play at 60 FPS on console.
Yeah.
Next, we have The Last of Us. Last of Us? Last of Us?
The Midbear?
Yeah, them. The Last of Us versus Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. Eric, I'm going to start this out.
I'm going to go for Resident Evil 7.
Frank?
Last of Us was fairly scary, but not... I mean... Once you got the first hang of it, like it became less scary because you made bombs and just bombed the shit out of those fucking spore monsters and stuff like that. Resident Evil 7 was different in the Resident Evil series because it took first-person shooter view of everything. I'm going with Resident Evil 7.
I've never played either one of them. I do want to play Resident Evil 7 at one point. And because of what you said, you talked about The Last of Us. Oh no, it was Evil Within. That's it.
Never yeah, mind. Evil Within is, you gotta play that break for sure. It's super cheap on any system now.
Next one.
Or it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one sounds interesting to me. I've never played either one of them, but the one I've never heard of. Dead by Daylight, which sounds interesting. Soma. Never heard of Soma.
Mm.
SOMA. It was highly rated as scary.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's leaving Game Pass. It's been there so long.
So, Frank, you can go ahead and start.
For me, it's Soma. Dead by Daylight is like a multiplayer game. I don't normally play multiplayer games. I think I messed around with that game for like 15 minutes, and it's scary because you're being chased by, you know, a serial killer of some sort, you know.
Sort of the same type of gameplay as Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but for me, Soma is so much better. I mean, I did play Soma, and if you guys haven't played Soma, you gotta play Soma. It's super cheap. If it goes off of Game Pass, just buy it. It's like $5. It's a great psychological.
Was it a PS Plus game at one point?
It could have been. I think I bought it for like $5. It's a great game. It's super scary.
That'll be put on sale in the next couple of weeks.
If you guys like atmospherically scary space games, then Soma's a game for you.
I'm thinking of Subnautica. I think Soma might still be on there.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass?
I don't know. Yeah. Soma's good. Soma's really good.
Try.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you think?
I'm voting for Soma.
And I guess since I've never played even one of these and it's getting high ratings here, I'm going to go with Soma too. Next, we have Silent Hill 4 versus Amnesia, The Dark Descent. Eric, you say this now.
I never played any of the Amnesia games beyond the first, so I don't know how.
That is the first. Dark Descent is the first.
Oh, it's the first?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'd vote for that over Silent Hill 4. Because Silent Hill 4 has got a lot of weird decisions that make it hard to play, yeah. Me personally.
Like what?
Like the idea that you can't ever kill a ghost, and then you have to remember like how, like what you use to pin them, and then like you have limited resources, but your actually ability to move around in the world is also limited, and you have to continually go back to your apartment room.
And, yeah, it's Silent Hill 4, the room, right?
And the story just isn't that great. I saw a Let's Play of it. So it's a very underwhelming Silent Hill, in my opinion.
Alright, what about you, Frank?
Silent Hill 4 had a great kind of premise. You know, they called it the room for a reason, like Eric alluded to. You're always going back to this apartment. But I think they missed the mark with that one quite a bit. And Amnesia is a game for the ages.
It was originally not even supposed to be a Silent Hill
game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amnesia is a great game. And it's super scary. It's got the vibe of Clock Tower with a kind of a Cthulian kind of feel to it. I like Amnesia quite a bit, man. It's super scary, and it's psychologically scary as well, in addition to being jump scary. It's just a great game. Amnesia for me.
Alright, I guess I'm going to go with you guys since I've never played one of these. So Amnesia moves on. Next we have Layers of Fear versus Alien Isolation.
Isolation is one of those games I've had but have yet to play.
Alright, I haven't played even one of these, so Frank, you can go ahead and start.
I played both of these games, and both of these games are pretty... Okay, I'm going to say Layers of Fear is pretty fucking good. Not as scary as it could have been. Alien Isolation is one of the scariest games I've ever played in my life. It's Alien Isolation all the way, 100%.
I'm going to go ahead and say, Eric, what do you think?
Layers of Fear is from Bloober Team, and Bloober Team, I don't think they're capable of doing good horror games.
Yeah, this one is good. It's good. I like Layers of Fear, but it's not...
Maybe two especially, because like, I saw how many glitches were happening with that on a video that Roxy put on Twitter one day. It was like, this is complete shit.
Yeah, two sucks, but one is really good.
And then they're making... the new Layers of Fear game called Layers of Fears.
Yeah, Layers of Fear is like one of those type of games where you'll look at a painting, right? And then you'll go back to the room and there'll be like something missing or something's different. Or it's psychological in nature. It's good.
But I'd rather go for the Alien Isolation because I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Oh my god, Alien Isolation.
I just need the time to actually play the damn thing.
Scary. It's really, really scary. It's one of the scariest games I've ever played.
This game is so scary, I'm afraid to play it. Just for that, I'm going to say Alien Isolation.
Oh, dude. I mean, seriously. You'll know when you play that game. You'll be like, fuck this game. It's too scary sometimes.
I've heard it's very scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to, like, buy it off of Steam before they delist it or something.
Yeah, buy it, man. It's worth it. I love it.
Because I got it as a Games of Gold on the Xbox, and I think it was available as a PS Plus game at some point.
I have the physical copy of it on the Xbox, but it's really, really good. Really good.
Next, we have... Alien Isolation moves on, by the way. Dead Space, the original, versus Amnesia Rebirth, which is the brand new.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and start. We talked about Dead Space 2 a little bit and how you liked it. You thought it was scarier than the first one.
Yes.
I thought the first one was just... I don't think there's a scarier game I've ever played in the first Dead Space.
It's pretty fucking good, isn't it, Break?
There's a feeling of being absolutely alone.
Yeah, you know? Isolation.
You're completely isolated and everything's dark and you walk into a room, you'll hear noises and stuff and just...
Yeah.
To me, the original Dead Space is still the scariest game I ever played. So for me, Dead Space. What about you, Frank?
Look, I like Amnesia. The new one looks really good as well. It's been getting fairly good ratings. Have not played that. That's my caveat to this, but Dead Space is in a category all its own. It did things that no other game has ever done. Dead Space for me is definitely high on my list of scary games. It's got to be Dead Space.
And it was a good game to play, too.
Yeah.
That was what was the best part about Dead Space.
Yeah, Visceral did a really good job with 1 and 2, for sure. 3 is an abomination that we won't talk about.
I never played the third one.
I still have a morbid curiosity to play 3 on Game Pass, because I don't have to pay for it, at least.
Oh my god, so bad. Don't waste
your time. Just to see how awful it is.
Don't waste your time.
Playing bad games for free is fun.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good time. Get drunk, play a bad game. So anyways, Eric, what do you think?
I'm voting for Dead Space, because I don't have any experience with Amnesia beyond the first game, so I can't really speak for it.
I was debating on whether to put a new game like Amnesia on here, because I didn't think any of us would have a chance.
I've seen the videos on it, and I've got the feel for it. Dead Space is definitely the winner. It's clear cut.
Now, this one's kind of unique. This is when I was starting to run out of what to pick. A game called Detention, which, and the reason I went with this is because it's basically you're stuck in a school. There's nothing that sounds more horrifying than being trapped in a high school.
I may be the only one that has played Detention here. I don't know. Did you play it, Eric?
No.
Okay.
Well, Detention is going up against Clock Tower 3, right? Yeah. So you can start this out.
I'm going to go with Detention, because Detention is scary as hell. Like, you have to hold your breath when the ghosts come, and it's nerve-wracking, man. Some of the themes in that game are really scary, and it's psychological in nature. It does have jump scares. Like, if you hold your breath too long, like, you exhale and the ghosts are after you, you have to run. It's good. Clock Tower 3, not as good. I'm going with Detention.
What about you, Eric?
Despite never having played Detention, Clock Tower 3 just isn't that scary, so I'm running for Detention.
The whole idea of Detention sounds scary to me. That's like I said, I just was running out of options, and I picked that one. But speaking of running out of options, what the hell did I just type?
Detepton. Detepton.
One of the games you could have put in here was Haunting Ground.
Haunting Ground. That's a PS2 game. That's pretty scary. It's from the same people that did Clock Tower, I believe.
Yeah, like, and we could have had D2 and Zero.
D would have been a good one, but hey, I think Brake did a great job, because I don't have any problems with anything he put on here at all.
Well, you might have a problem with the next one. It's called Darkwood. I've never heard of it.
I've heard of it. Okay, this is fine. I can go. I can talk about both of these games. I didn't play Darkwood, but I know what Darkwood is. Observer is one of Rutger Hauer's last bit of work, period. Observer is a good game, and it's unnerving. It's basically Blade Runner, but you're on the trail of a serial killer, and it's unnerving for sure. But it's not.
You're also hacking the deceased brain.
Yeah, you.
The people that have been murdered.
It's more unnerving than anything, but I think it is. It's worthy of being on this list. I'm going with Observer. Darkwood is more. It's also kind of a psychologically balanced game, but I'm definitely going to go with Observer.
Well, you have me at Rutger Hauer, so yeah. I'm going with Observer too. What about you, Eric?
Observer. Based on what I played of it and not having experienced
it. It's pretty good. It's good.
You could have stopped talking after you said Rutger
Hauer. Yeah, right.
Last of this bracket, we have Bloodborne versus the Resident Evil remake. And I will go ahead and start this one out. One of the things the remake did exceptionally well, and Frank mentioned earlier, like the shark part was even scarier in the remake. One of the things they did really well in the remake was subvert your fears of the original game for people who played it. In other words, like the first time you walk down the certain hallway in Resident Evil, what was in the area that's going to be dogs jump through the window and attack you.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen this time. first time you go through that hallway. They wait until the second time.
Right.
And they do other things like that where different enemies will attack you in different spots that you weren't expecting.
Also, in the original game, if you went through that hallway the opposite way, it doesn't happen at all. But if you walk back through the room after exiting the room, it will happen. It's so weird.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay.
And one of the other things they added was the new, like, those flaming zombies that just would not stay dead. And, like, just new element of horror to already something that was, you're low on ammo, you don't have much healing. It's already a tense experience, and they added something even more.
Yeah.
I'd say Resident Evil Remake, person. What about you, Frank?
I'm going with Bloodborne, and I'll tell you why. I agree with everything that you said, but Bloodborne is scary in its ambiance, in its atmosphere, and its lore. And most people don't take the time to learn the lore in Bloodborne, and therefore they don't have context of how scary that world really is. Plus, the details in that game are fucking crazy, man. Like, you get a certain madness level, and you can start to see, like, the old gods on the side of buildings, and, I mean, it's just a crazy scary game if you think of it in a psychological manner. I'm going with Bloodborne, even though I have very high praise for Resident Evil Remake. I think Bloodborne is a game for the ages. I'm definitely going Bloodborne.
Eric, you're a tiebreaker.
Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Let's see what we have left. We have on the last bracket. Jesus, I can talk at the same time. On the last bracket, and I will start us off because I've mentioned this game already. The original Fear versus another first-person shooter, Stalker. I bought a video card. Essentially, I bought a whole new computer for original Fear. So, I mean, I'm pretty biased when I say Fear.
It's Fear for me too, Blake. I mean, we don't need to beat around the bush on this one, man. It's Fear.
What about you, Eric?
Fuck Fear. I'm on Stalker. It doesn't matter, though.
Fear is good, man. What's wrong with you? Alma's a...
Because I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot, man. Fear is good.
I absolutely love the original Fear. Like I said, I spent like $200 on the video card. That was just the card, not the rest of the computer.
Even. Yeah.
Like, I went all out for that game. Like, I was just... $200. I wish I would. Coming to... wait, what are we doing here? Last one, next bracket.
Alright. I think you're out of sorts since we skipped a week break.
Next we have BioShock, the original, versus Until Dawn. Every time you encountered a Big Daddy in the original BioShock was... terrifying moment. Like, when you knew that thing was coming, it's like, fuck. Yeah, that feeling. I never played Until Dawn, and because of that, I'm going to go with BioShock. What about you, Eric?
I'm voting for Until Dawn, because I don't consider either the BioShock games or BioShock Infinite as particularly scary.
I'm going to go with Until Dawn, too, but I agree with you, Breakman. I mean, the Big Daddies are super scary when you run into them. But Until Dawn is a great game.
A lot of horror elements in the game because a lot of people in it were mentally disturbed.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. No, it's definitely scary, but Until Dawn is a scarier game for sure.
No, I believe you. I was just, Eric was saying he didn't think it was scary, and I think about the little sisters. Like, that's the...
Well, it was more unsettling than it was scary.
Yeah, unsettling is a good way to put it, yeah, yeah.
Here's another one of those games I've never heard of. And let me hope I can pronounce it right. Phasmophobia versus Manhunt, the original Manhunt.
Are you thinking of Phantasmagoria, or is there an actual Phasmophobia?
No, there is a game called Phasmophobia.
Oh, okay. All right.
Since I already started it, you can go first.
I'm going to vote for that, because Manhunt doesn't do it for me at all.
Yeah.
I talked about how much I enjoyed the original Manhunt. It was sick and sadistic. And sometimes it could be very scary just because of how they've set enemies up and such. Set them up to ambush you. Like, in particular, there's one enemy I remember where it's set up where you look like you can easily stalk this guy, come up on him, and as soon as you're about to attack, he surprises you and attacks you. Because he's been waiting for you.
Yeah. It's not
overall like a real horror, direct horror game compared to some of these other ones on here. Still, I've never heard of Phasmophobia.
It's relatively new. It came out within like the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years.
I'm in agreement with you, Breakman. I think there are scary elements of Manhunt. I think, controversy aside, there are some psychological elements to that game that do make it scary. So I'm with you. Manhunt.
Awesome. I was surprised that moved on. I doubt it'll move on after what's coming up, some of these other ones. Now we have the Friday the 13th. That would be the current generation one. You can't tell me that.
Did you skip the other one?
Doki Doki Literature and Little Nightmares.
You're right. I'm sorry. Doki Doki Literature Club versus Little Nightmares. Never played even one of these games, Eric. Since you noticed,
I played both of them. So Doki Doki Literature Club is a visual novel, and it doesn't even get scary until you've done the first loop.
Like a real slow burn, which kind of intrigued me.
Yeah, it's supposed to like trick you into thinking it's an average visual novel where you're a guy that's got a bunch of girls that are probably into him, but then you learn about their problems, and then it comes to a head, and then something really messed up happens, and then that's where the game gets really interesting. But I think Little Nightmares does it better, though, because you're a little kid stuck on a boat full of giant monsters.
What about you, Frank?
I never played Doki Doki, but I did play Little Nightmares. Little Nightmares is creepy as fuck. I'm going with Little Nightmares.
I really like the premise of Doki Doki Literature Club, just the whole slow burn element.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to play that game eventually.
Yeah,
you need the new one, like that has extra content on it.
I've never really been into like that type of game, but like that. Next we have the one I tried to skip to, Friday the 13th, which would be the current one, which whatever. I'll say, I can't remember what I say. Friday the 13th versus Deadly Premonition. I am going to go ahead and start this one because the Friday the 13th, when you're playing it as a counselor, anytime you hear the
yeah.
Something like that, you know, it's like you know he's around and the screen starts to fizz up and stuff like that. Like, there's some scary, tense moments, you know, you can't get away.
Yeah.
You're in the woods and you've got your flashlight and you can't barely run anymore because you're kind of exhausted. And, like, there's definitely think Friday the 13th is a scary game.
Deadly Premonition is that joke game is like so bad it's good type of game. I'm going with Friday the 13th as well. I've watched Freak 5 play that game quite a bit, and it's scary at times. Like it, like you said, it can be. Like, I played it once with those guys, and I was scared out of my gourd. I was like, "Fuck this, man!"
I've watched people play it. Like, when you die and you're just sitting in the lobby waiting, or you escape and you're sitting in the lobby waiting. Like somebody like is hiding or hiding in like a cabin or something, just holding their breath, and it's like. Oh God! You're gonna die!
Yeah!
You're gonna die, man! Get out of there! Get out! Oh! I had to tell you. Anyway, what about you, Eric?
Well, considering Deadly Premonition is something that is supposed to be scary, but you can't really take it that seriously because of all the goofy shit that happens in it. But it's more like an homage to Twin Peaks than anything else, and so that for that reason, I'm voting for Friday the 13th, I guess.
I shouldn't have put it on the list. Okay, next we have, I didn't really see this on many lists, but I remember it being a scary and fun game, Dead Space Extraction versus The Evil Within. Frank, you can go ahead and start.
All right, I played both of these games. Dead Space Extraction is a like a rail shooter, if I remember correctly, and it's scary. It's good. It was on the Wii. Yeah.
They ported it to the Xbox 360 and PS3 too.
Yeah, I would have voted for this one, Breakman, but you put it up against Evil Within, and if you played Evil Within, the first 5 minutes is scary enough, man. It basically what I remember, because it's been a while since I played it, you're hung upside down by your feet, and there's a serial killer ready to, like, chop you up, but you get out of that, and you have to avoid him with no weapon, so you're hiding, pretty much, and then it progresses from there. But that's that premise alone, and it's, like, really icky. It's got, like, kind of a Resident Evil feel to it, Evil Within for me, but not by much. Dead Space Extraction is actually pretty fucking scary for a rail shooter.
That's why I put it on here. Like, I saw other ones like The House of the Dead too. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think that game was that scary. Whereas I thought Extraction could be scary. At
yeah.
some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Dead Space Extraction and leave the tiebreaker up to Eric.
Based on what I play with the Evil Within 2, I'm gonna vote for the Evil Within.
Yeah, it's definitely scarier. But I Breakman, I get what you're saying about Dead Space Extraction. It's an underrated game. I like it quite a bit.
Next, we have the original Condemned versus Lone Survivor. I've never played Lone Survivor. I did play the original Condemned, and there was definitely some scary elements to it. We don't get that often with first-person shooters, but when we do, I love it with Fear, and I enjoyed it with Condemned, too. I'll go with Condemned. What about you?
I never played either of these, but I'm voting for Lone Survivor.
That's really strange. Condemned is a great game, and it's scary and it's underrated, and I'm going to go with Condemned. The second one was a more polished game, but not nearly as scary. The only thing I remember from the second game is when this big-ass bear, like, yeah, you're in this house, right? And it's totally unexpected, and a bear kind of jumps out at you and chases you. It's crazy, but Condemned for me.
Then moves on. This one I think is really interesting. The Thing versus Resident Evil 4. I've seen playthroughs of The Thing, which looks really interesting, really cool. Some of those games
yeah.
I love playing, I really wish I did. It's got a really cool element that, like the movie, in the game, you don't know who The Thing is.
Yeah.
At any point, any of your people, the people you're trying to save, could turn into The Thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Resident Evil 4, we all know, like, that was kind of revitalization for Resident Evil at the time. It had gone kind of slack. People weren't really into Resident Evil as much as they were until 4 came back out, and then you know, fans got all thirsty over Leon Kennedy.
Right.
But as far as scary things, I do think Resident Evil 4 is scary. I just, the whole idea of your teammate suddenly turning on you, that's terrifying. Way they do it. I think The Thing. What about you, Frank?
This is a hard one for me because I do think Resident Evil 4 is kind of scary in a way. A lot of the themes in it. But The Thing is a criminally underrated PlayStation 2 game. I think it came out on the Xbox as well.
Yeah.
But it was originally a PS2 game. And if not for the gameplay elements, like, you would have, like, a flamethrower that would be hard to control at times and some other things, that's a great game. And it's a great psychological horror game. And I think very highly of The Thing. I wish they would remake that with modern graphics and tighten up the gameplay a little bit. And I think it could stand alone. As much as it pains me to go against Resident Evil 4, because I think Resident Evil 4 is an all-time great game. But if we're talking scary, The Thing is a scarier game, for sure.
Wow. Okay. And what about you, Eric?
Thing
gets, oh wow, The Thing moves on without
yeah.
any resistance. Wow, that yeah. is a huge upset, I think.
Yeah, I think it's an upset too, but I think it's the right call for sure.
I am shocked. That completes our bracket for today though.
Yeah, so we're done with this week, man. Holy cow, I think we got through a lot, and there's a lot of great matchups for next week. Like, I'm looking at Resident Evil versus Silent Hill at the top. Holy cow, that's a hell of a matchup.
I did that on purpose.
I know you did that on purpose, man. That's going to be painful. One of those two franchises is going down. Golly, man, I don't even know what to think of this, man. I think you picked fantastic games, though, Break. I mean, there's only a couple of omissions that I've mentioned during during this whole thing. But other than that, I think you've done a really, really good job of picking the greatest horror, like the scariest horror games of all time. I don't have any problems with any of it. It's good stuff all the way around. All the way around, man.
How many weeks left in October, I should say? Looking at calories. Should we do like multiple, or should we just keep going same?
What's that? You're
trying to figure out like how many Fridays we have in the
year. We've got enough in October.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up the last week with you know, whatever's left. So we'll just go around at a time until the end, and then we'll just, you know. But I think that's all we're gonna have time for this week, guys. But man, what a great bracket break, man! Thank you for putting that together for sure. I will be getting you guys your gift cards or whatever codes after I'm done here. But I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else before we wrap this thing up?
Stay safe.
Oh, well, let's do our plugs. Breakman, plug away. Wow. That was great. You have any plugs? Actual plugs?
I'm going to add RP Grinders on Twitter if I'm not getting in trouble for telling some asshole to fuck off.
RP Grinders on Twitter is what he said. You're really low. Your volume's really low, Breakman.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. I was just like, you kept fading, and I was like, what's going on here? All right, Eric, your that's plug, sir.
I need to look at it, figure out what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
But you can find reviews I've done on BostonBastardBrigade.com, or you can listen to the audio feed for my audio reviews. I got two new ones, and that's for Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon and Shovel Knight Dig. And if you like either of those things and you want to support me, there's a link to my Patreon and my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG. Give me as little as a dollar per month, or just a one-time donation of whatever you feel like. That'd be fine.
All right. You can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. I have another channel called Mexican Longhair where you can see my work as an activist and a journalist. We talked about that earlier. And some other things that I do, cop watching and, you know, other stuff like that to hold government officials accountable for what they do or don't do. And that's about it. This month's going to be totally fun. I can tell. October's all about scary movies and scary games. We'll be having a lot of that talk during this month, especially with this bracket. I think Breakman put together a great bracket. All right, guys, anything else?
Oh, I need to download some of these games if they're on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah, download some, man. Play them. They're fun.
Got some good recommendations. You got The Evil Within, you said, and
yep.
What was that other one you really had?
Soma. Soma's really good.
I think Soma's on there, but I'm not entirely sure. I was thinking of Subnautica at the time, so who knows?
Yeah. Soma. Soma's really good. But yeah, you'd be Evil Within 1 and 2, Soma. I'm looking through here. I think the Alan Wake remake is on there, which is pretty good. What else? Amnesia is another one. Alien Isolation is another as well.
Alien Isolation.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, that's it.
All right. Time. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, you know, what's that?
Late. I didn't know how late it was.
Yeah, it is. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you.
Theme song. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.